It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price.
This city is locked down.
That is our top story at noon. On the eve of the swearing-in of a new commander-in-chief comes a disturbing report that claims rioters are planning to dress as U.S. troops for tomorrow's inauguration. Even so, Republican Senator Roy Blunt is promising a peaceful transition of power.
I think we're going to project to the world exactly the message we'd want to at this very spot where so many bad things happened 2 weeks ago. I think the world's going to see the Constitution and the democracy of our country work.
25,000 National Guard troops now in our nation's capital for tomorrow's inauguration, and the vetting of those troops continues today. Even though federal officials say they've received no credible threat of an insider attack, Tennessee Democrat Steve Cohen says he's concerned with our National Guard.
They're probably not more than 25% of the people that are there protecting us who voted for Biden. The other 75% are in the class that would be the large class of folks who might want to do something. So it does concern me.
West Point grad and Army veteran Jeremy Hunt says Congressman Cohen's comments are repulsive and have no place in America.
I served with people who had all different types of political views, but what binded us together was a common creed. It was the oath that we took, a fidelity to the Constitution. And if you are a United States congressman and you think it's acceptable to sow such seeds of hatred, you too have no business leading this country. If you think that all conservatives who serve are somehow a potential insider threat, he too should go home.
The Washington Post reports that lone wolves could be disguised as National Guard troops at tomorrow's inauguration, which gets underway at 11:30 a.m. in our nation's capital. Crisis at the border. That is the other big story at noon. Nearly 10,000 migrants continue their march towards the U.S., saying they were influenced by the words of President-elect Joe Biden. Here he was back in November.
In the first 100 days of my administration, no one will be deported at all. From that point on, the only deportations that will take place are commissions of felonies in the United States of America.
This Honduran migrant says that's a green light for him.
They're having a new president versus Biden. He's going to help all of us. He's given us 100 days to get to the U.S. and give us legal mental paper so we can get a better life.
Acting Deputy Secretary of Homeland Security Ken Cuccinelli says Biden's rhetoric is behind the caravan that's expected to be at our southern border later this month.
We saw the Trump effect, you know, this amazing drop, voluntary drop in illegal immigration when President Trump was sworn in because of the expectations he created. And now we're seeing the Biden effect because of the expectations that he has created.
Cuccinelli says the president-elect has created a perception that's driving this migrant caravan towards our border. The incoming administration has told that caravan they can't get in, at least not now. Ken Cuccinelli says that warning is too late. 1 year ago today, the first case of COVID-19 appeared in the U.S., and a lot has changed since then. Today, the CDC announcing that 400,000 American lives have now been claimed by this virus. Meantime, the vaccine should be available for every single American later this spring.
Majority of Americans should start seeing it be available for them in April to May if everything goes well. Obviously, that could slip to June, but certainly by summertime, I think anybody who wants a vaccine should be able to get one.
Dr. Ashit Shah at the Brown School of Public Health says inoculations should start to ramp up as more vaccines get the green light from the FDA. President-elect Joe Biden has tapped Pennsylvania Health Secretary Dr. Rachel Levine to be his Assistant Secretary of Health. Allie Lanyon is with ABC 27 News in Harrisburg.
Levine would become the first openly transgender federal official to be confirmed by the U.S. Senate. In a statement, Biden said, quote, Dr. Rachel Levine will bring the steady leadership and essential expertise we need to get people through this pandemic, no matter their zip code, race, religion, sexual orientation, gender identity, or disability.
That's Allie Lanyon reporting. President Trump will spend his last full day in office today issuing pardons. Law expert Jessica Levinson.
Presidents who are both Democrats and Republicans do use the pardon power to reward loyalists, to reward friends, to thank people who have been good to them.
Among those expected to get a presidential pardon today is the rapper Lil Wayne. He pleaded guilty last month to illegal gun possessions. President Trump expected to issue dozens of pardons today on his final full day in office. First Lady Melania Trump delivering her farewell address to the nation last night.
The past 4 years have been unforgettable. As Donald and I conclude our time in the White House, I think of all of the people I have taken home in my heart and their incredible stories of love, patriotism, and determination.
While not specifically mentioning the deadly riots at the Capitol this month, the First Lady did call for peace, saying in the end, love triumphs over hate.
No words can express the depth of my gratitude for the privilege of having served as your First Lady. To all the people of this country, you will be in my heart forever. Thank you.
The President and the First Lady will not be taking part in tomorrow's inauguration. Instead, they'll take a ride on Air Force One for the final time, landing in Florida before Joe Biden takes the oath of office. Still to come this Tuesday, Lake Flakes flying in ski country, Amber Alert in Greece, New York, and four separate shootings in the Poconos.
Good afternoon. We're tracking some lake effect snow this afternoon. Those lake flakes will be with us in some areas tonight into tomorrow. Forecast details in 10 minutes.
Okay, Kevin Williams, checking the stories making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania Tuesday, January 19th. A targeted abduction. That's how police in Greece, New York are describing it. And Amber Alert is still up for those two children. Authorities say were taken from their foster home last night on English Road in the town of Greece.
I think that it was a targeted abduction in the manner in which they sought these two children out. When there's seven other children in there, so they were looking for these two.
Police Chief Andrew Forsyth says 3-year-old Shakiria Cash and 5-year-old Dimitri Cash taken by two black suspects. Authorities say those suspects entered the home and took the kids from an upstairs room. Greecetown Supervisor Bill Rylick.
Certainly as a parent and a grandparent, you want to make sure the kids are okay. Anybody that's a parent, their heart right now goes out on this situation.
The suspects were last seen wearing flannel shirts, black ski masks, and black knit hats. A van that was taken from the home has now been recovered at a nearby apartment. Police say they're still looking for the father of the missing children. Police in the Pennsylvania Poconos say at least 4 people were hurt in shootings in 4 different places around the same time. Last night.
As far as suspects, persons of interest, that's what we're looking to gain through our interviews and through our witnesses to kind of piece this all together.
Police Chief Chris Wagner. Lake effect snow warnings continue through tomorrow morning for southern Erie, Wyoming, Chautauqua, and Cattaraugus counties in western New York. Much of the region already has over 1 foot of snow on the ground. A foot more could be coming.
Localized amounts of about 1 foot. That's from the Lake Erie shoreline. And then areas to the north, the city of Buffalo, into some of the north towns could see 3 to 6 inches.
Heather Kenyon at the National Weather Service in Buffalo says if you like winter, you'll love this week.
This week we're going to have snow on and off through most of the week and into the weekend. And we're actually going to see temperatures fall well below normal through the weekend.
The parts of ski country could see over 2 feet of snow by this time tomorrow. A Harrisburg woman has been arrested by the FBI in connection with this month's deadly riots at the U.S. Capitol. 22-year-old Riley June Williams, taken into custody yesterday.
Court papers say she stole a laptop from House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's office with plans to get the device into the hands of Russia's Foreign Intelligence Service.
Deborah Alfaron reporting. The community of Hamburg, New York, still in shock following that horrific house fire yesterday that claimed the lives of a woman and 2 young children.
It's very sad, unfortunate situation. You hear of house fires occasionally, but you never expect it to be right next door to you.
Neighbor member Alyssa Mandiak says her heart breaks for the victims and the firefighters involved in this terrible tragedy.
A very unfortunate situation. There's a lot of prayers. Hopefully, you know, they could find out the cause of this fire.
Tough fire for all of us.
Hamburg Fire Chief Jared Sterner says the investigation into that fire continues today. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo blaming the federal government for the state's botched rollout of the COVID-19 vaccine.
The problem was created by the federal negligence in the first place. The handling of the vaccine has been incompetent. You made a bad situation worse.
Cuomo says he's now considering buying vaccine directly from Pfizer in order to boost supplies. New York City Councilman Joe Borelli says Cuomo's blame game is par for the course with this governor.
He is the archetype of taking credit when things are going well and then distancing himself when things are going poorly. I mean, this is a guy who literally got a fake box of vaccine to take a big goofy picture with to let everyone know just exactly who was in charge of distributing vaccine.
Over 40,000 New Yorkers have lost their lives to COVID-19. Councilman Borelli says Governor Cuomo has made it a habit of putting politics above public safety.
When it's convenient, he'll use Bill de Blasio as a foil. When it's convenient, he'll use Donald Trump as an arch villain. So while all this is happening, you know, people in New York are not getting vaccinated and they're still getting sick. And at the end of the day, it is Andrew Cuomo who is to blame.
New York State has over 6,700 nursing home deaths from COVID-19. That's more than any other state in the country. Some say Governor Cuomo is to blame by putting infected patients into nursing homes instead of into hospitals. Back when the pandemic began, a new Siena College poll shows most New Yorkers think the worst is yet to come when it comes to COVID-19. That survey says 55% of New Yorkers think the state hasn't seen the worst of the pandemic. 31% say the worst of this virus is behind us. A new year comes with a new law cracking down on the widespread problem of human trafficking. In Pennsylvania,
under the new law, crimes are elevated to a first-degree felony. Fines and prison times are increased, and the definition of a child has changed to anyone under 18 instead of 16. Pennsylvania state troopers said they're seeing a large number of internet crimes during the pandemic, which includes human trafficking. According to the Victims Resource Center of Northeastern Pennsylvania, human trafficking brings in $150 billion each year, and they said many of the victims never come forward. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
Thank you, Terry. Let's pause for sports. Your two-minute drill. Here's Sonny.
Yeah, let's start in the NFL and the big story. Kansas City Chiefs head coach Andy Reid doesn't know whether Patrick Mahomes will clear the NFL's concussion protocol in time to play in Sunday's AFC Championship game against the Buffalo Bills. If Mahomes is out, Buffalo will face Chad Henne for a chance to go to the Super Bowl. ESPN's Adam Schefter.
I would say, again, Wednesday, Thursday, you'll get a real good sense that he's in the clear at that point and that they can move ahead and begin plans and preparations as if he will be there. He will need to be cleared by an independent neurologist.
Winner of the AFC Championship game between the Chiefs and the Bills will take on the winner of the NFC Championship game between Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers and Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. To the ice, the Sabres get their first win on the season, crushing the Flyers 6-1. Buffalo's head coach Ralph Krueger.
Defended the gapping of the defensemen, the tracking of the forwards was outstanding right through the game.
Carter Hutton turned away 21 of 22 shots in the win. Jean-Gabriel Pageau scored the lone goal in the third. The Islanders beat the Bruins 1-0 in New York. Maple Leafs held on to beat the Jets 3-1. In the NBA, the Knicks held on to beat the Orlando Magic 91-84. James Harden and Kevin Durant held off Giannis and the Milwaukee Bucks 125-123 for the Brooklyn Nets. The Raptors crushed the Dallas Mavericks 116-93. The New York Mets are firing their newly hired general manager. Jared Porter admitted to sending a lewd photo to a female reporter in 2016. Mets new owner Steve Cohen tweeted the team terminated Porter this morning. He went on to say that in his initial press conference, he spoke about the importance of integrity, and he meant it. He says there will be zero tolerance for this type of behavior. And the rich get richer. The San Diego Padres are adding right-hander Joe Musgrove from the Pittsburgh Pirates. He'll join Blake Snell and Yu Darvish. Wow. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphiet.
Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this Tuesday edition of the Noon Report, Amber Alert in Monroe County, New York will have the very latest. The Joe Biden presidency and the Donald Trump legacy and the three-month layover in Chicago.
So no freedom of speech, no freedom of assembly, no freedom of religion, but you're free to party? For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Recently, police in Hong Kong arrested 53 pro-democracy activists for holding a primary election. The Communist Chinese government made the sweep of political opponents under cover of a new national security law. The same day as these arrests, China-based tech firm Alibaba stock jumped 30%. You know why? Because word circulated that Alibaba's eccentric founder, Jack Ma, might actually be alive. You see, Ma had vanished 2 months ago after publicly criticizing China's banking system. Apparently, stockholders and most of China just assumed that the Chinese Communist Party had taken him and might have killed him. Juxtaposed the very same week was an article in the New York Times that described everyday life in China now that the coronavirus is nearly non-existent there. The headline of the article was this, quote, "In a topsy-turvy pandemic world, China offers its version of freedom." And underneath the headline was this summary. Surveillance and censorship bolster Beijing's uncompromising grip on power. But in the country's cities and streets, people have resumed normal lives. According to this veteran reporter, life in the communist country now resembles what normal was like in the pre- world. Restaurants are packed, she wrote. Hotels are full. Long lines form outside luxury brand stores. Instead of Zoom calls, people are meeting face-to-face to talk business or to celebrate the new year. Yes, the Times reporter did admit, Chinese citizens don't have freedom of speech, freedom of worship, or even freedom from fear. But hey, they do have the freedom to lead a normal day-to-day life. In the book I co-authored with Brett Kunkel, A Practical Guide to Culture, we wrote that the battle of ideas always begins with the battle over definitions. And it's jarring to consider just how malleable some definitions of some words, such as freedom, have become. Pro-democracy activists are arrested by the dozens. A billionaire tech CEO is presumed missing after criticizing the government. But hey, shopping at a designer store without a mask? That's freedom? Now, for the record, even if we granted the Times the benefit of the doubt here, China still wouldn't live up to the Times' grotesquely skewed definition of freedom. After all, an estimated 1 million and counting Muslim Uyghurs are currently being detained in concentration camps in the Xinjiang province. Even according to the New York Times definition, the Uyghurs are anything but free. Even so, the way this New York Times piece defined down freedom commits yet another error. Any grammar nerd will react to a rhetorical redundancy, such as, for example, the phrase completely destroyed. That's because there really aren't degrees of destruction. Something's either destroyed or it's not. You don't need a qualifier. And freedom is similar. The ability to shop at a mall while not being able to worship, speak, or assemble, that's not freedom. Now, that's not to say that freedom has no limits. No one's free to murder or yell fire in a crowded theater. In fact, the definition of freedom increasingly embraced across the West, that we're free from rules, free from consequences, from restraints, or from truth itself, that's actually license. As the Apostle Paul says, license only enslaves us. True freedom isn't freedom from. True freedom is freedom for. The freedom for living fully into our created design. Christians of all people should be able to clearly and accurately define freedom. Better yet, we must be able to show what freedom is. Our brothers and sisters in China are not free to worship together on Sundays without fear or oversight. But American Christians who don't live Monday to Saturday as if Jesus is Lord, they're not free either. See, true freedom is only found in Christ and seeing and living all of life as if it belongs to Him. Even when new COVID-19 cases across the globe finally reach zero, we'll only truly be free if the Son has set us free. And then we're free indeed. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
A lot to get to weather-wise. Here's meteorologist Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. It's all about lake effect snow this week, pummeling some areas, leaving other areas completely free of snow. Next week, though, it'll be a different story. Lake effect snows are put aside as broader, larger systems arrive early week and maybe late week. In the meantime, for this afternoon, heavy lake snows east of Lake Sarah, Ontario, several inches with rugged travel blowing and drifting. Elsewhere, and otherwise, variable cloudiness with snow flurries. Temperatures peaking in the upper 20s to the upper 30s. Patches of lake snow and flurries tonight and tomorrow. Otherwise, partly cloudy. Low temps tonight, mid-teens to mid-20s, and we're in the 20s and low 30s tomorrow. Thursday, not as cold, mostly cloudy. Brisk winds, some storm flurries, and a high in the 30s.
All right, Kevin Williams, appreciate it. If you're just joining us, here are some of the stories we're following for you today, Tuesday, January 19th. Police in Greece, New York, say they're looking for the father of two children who were abducted from their foster home last night. An Amber Alert has been issued for 3-year-old Shakiria Cash and 5-year-old Dimitri Cash. Police say the children were taken from their home by two black suspects wearing ski masks and black knit hats.
The female homeowner reported that she was downstairs while her 7 foster children were upstairs when she heard a crashing sound at the front of the residence. She then observed 2 male blacks breaking through the front window and entering the residence. She screamed, and when she screamed, 2 of her children from upstairs came down to check on her to see if she was okay. She immediately grabbed onto her 2 children and wrapped them up in her arms.
Greece, New York Police Chief Andrew Forsyth.
The 2 suspects then grabbed all 3 of them, used duct tape to forcibly tape all 3 together. Once they did that, they also put tape over the female homeowner's mouth to prevent her from screaming. The 2 male suspects then went upstairs and forcibly removed the 2 children, Shakira and Dimitri, and removed them from the residence forcibly.
Police say a van the suspect stole from the house with the 2 children in it has been found. The search for those 2 children continues this afternoon. Lake effect snow warnings continue through tomorrow morning for southern Erie, Wyoming, Chautauqua, and Cattaraugus counties in western New York. By this time tomorrow, parts of ski country could see over 2 feet of snow.
The bullseye for this event going into tonight will be the Southtown, Hamburg, Orchard Park.
Heather Kenyon at the National Weather Service in Buffalo says the Queen City and areas north should be spared the worst of the snow. But if you're downwind of the Great Lakes, watch out.
The southern portion of the city of Buffalo could see the northern edge of this lake effect band and some of the north towns. But the majority of the areas that are going to see significant snowfall will be the south towns, far northern Chautauqua County and northwest Cattaraugus County.
Blowing snow also a problem later today. The country gets a new president tomorrow, and Washington is getting ready today. Missouri Republican Senator Roy Blunt.
I think we're going to project to the world exactly the message we'd want to at this very spot where so many bad things happened 2 weeks ago. I think the world's going to see the Constitution and the democracy of our country work.
The Washington Post reports that lone wolves could be disguised as National Guard troops for tomorrow's inauguration. 25,000 troops are in the process of being vetted by the FBI. Meantime, arrests continue to be made in the aftermath of this month's deadly riots at the U.S. Capitol. Among them, a 22-year-old woman from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
According to FBI records, a witness alleged that Riley June Williams stole Speaker Pelosi's computer and intended to send it to a friend in Russia who then planned to sell the device to Russian intelligence.
That's Catherine Herridge reporting. Political persecution. Many Americans today fear that Democrats will now demonize President Trump's supporters. Several high-profile liberals have called for the deprogramming of 74 million Americans who voted for President Trump in the last election.
How are we going to really almost deprogram these people who have signed up for the cult of Trump?
It's as if they are members of a cult, the Trumpist cult, and we have to be deprogrammed.
We have to turn down the capability of these conservative influencers.
Former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee.
Get some of these leftist loons, take their boot off my neck. I don't need that. I'm supposed to be a free American with the capacity to think for myself. If my views are as horrible as they think they are, then nobody will follow them. There's no cult. There are many of us who appreciate the many things that President Trump has done for the country.
Huckabee says from getting tough on China to improving relations with Israel, President Trump has done great things for the country.
There's some things that even a leftist ought to be able to look at and say, you know what? President Trump has done some good things, but they can't. And they're the ones who are following the cult of the left that thinks somehow that they're always right, they're never wrong, and the rest of us are crazy.
Huckabee says Donald Trump will go down in history as one of the most successful one-term presidents ever. President-elect Joe Biden has tapped Pennsylvania Health Secretary Dr. Rachel Levine to be his Assistant Secretary of Health. Levine was appointed to her current post by Democratic Governor Tom Wolf back in 2017 and is now poised to become the first openly transgender federal official to be confirmed by the U.S. Senate. A year ago today, the first coronavirus case appeared in the U.S. A lot has changed since then. The CDC says 400,000 Americans have now lost their lives to the virus. And a new variant of the bug is expected to kill thousands more by mid-February.
This is what I think is extremely concerning and why this race we have between the virus and the variants and the vaccine administration right now is so critical.
Infectious disease expert Dr. Michael Osterholm says there are as many as three different strains of COVID-19. The president-elect will take part in a tribute tonight for the victims of COVID-19. Here's a reporter, Wendy Gillette.
Church bells will ring across the nation and 400 lights will shine around the Lincoln Memorial Reflecting Pool in Washington. A somber reminder of the roughly 400,000 Americans who have lost their lives to COVID-19. The National Moment of Unity and Remembrance will be held at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. It's the first lighting around the reflecting pool to memorialize the loss of Americans. Buildings will also be lit across the country.
That's Wendy Gillette reporting 25 minutes past the hour. Next at noon, Family Life News goes one-on-one with Pennsylvania Congressman Glenn Thompson. The Republicans sat down today with our very own Bob Price to talk about the Biden presidency and the Trump legacy. Let's listen in.
In what ways will the American people feel this transfer of power immediately?
Bob, I think the most immediate experience by the American people will be what President-elect Biden, then will be President Biden, will do through executive orders, rolling back some of the great things that President Trump has done. Legislatively, I think the Biden administration is going to have a very difficult time. The Senate is 50-50, and yes, there's a tiebreaker in terms of the incoming Vice President Harris, but the fact is the Senate has rules that require 60 votes, and Senator Manchin from West Virginia, a Democrat, has made it very clear that he is not willing to relinquish that filibuster rule, is what it's called, that requires 60 votes to move anything.
Yeah.
I also think in the House, the numbers are historically going to be as tight of a margin in our lifetime.
Yeah.
And that means that Mrs. Pelosi, Speaker Pelosi, is not going to be able to lose any votes. And I think the votes that are most at risk are those remaining moderate Democrats who know that the progressive agenda does not serve them well in their congressional districts.
Yeah, by the time the president-elect puts his hand on that Bible and takes the oath, President Trump, former President Trump at that time, will be in Florida, first president to not attend the inauguration of his successor since, I believe it was Andrew Johnson, back in the 1800s. You mentioned a little bit some of the president's legacy. And of course, there's great debate about how culpable he is for what happened on the 6th. But if you would, Congressman, talk about some of the accomplishments of President Trump during his 4 years in office.
Absolutely. And, you know, and I do think, Bob, that what we're talking about right now are emotional issues, and emotions tend to wane, but the impact of real results last. And so I think as President Trump's legacy is written, you know, let's just start with the pandemic of our lifetime. You know, the president actually saved this nation. Operation Warp Speed, what he was able to do, he accomplished in 10 months, but historically in the past has always taken 10 years. He led this country in creating the strongest economy in our history. Can you imagine what 2020 would have been like without that type of a robust economy? It would have been like the Great Depression, where people were literally jumping off roofs. How much worse it would have been without 3 years of that Trump economy. And then you put on top of that foreign policy, the world is a much safer place today. We don't hear about ISIS. We don't hear about Al-Qaeda. We hear about historical peace agreements, something no one else has been able to do. You look at the energy independence we've been able to gain. That's certainly been good for my state of Pennsylvania, but it's been good for every American, where we are independent in terms of our energy. The list goes on and on and on of the things that, quite frankly, we should be very thankful and very proud of President Trump has provided for this nation.
Not the least of which those three Supreme Court justices, which when you think to the checks and balances, they may be the last line of defense to hold back a far left agenda. So that too, I think of as being one of his greatest lasting impacts.
Absolutely, and time wise, the effects of that will be felt for a couple generations.
So they're going to try to get the people's business done while at the same time convening an impeachment trial, kind of rubbing your head, patting your belly, kind of a thing. I don't know how they're going to do it, but what right out of the gates, GT? You got this $1.9 trillion COVID package that Joe Biden wants to get passed. What are some things immediately that you think Republicans and Democrats can work together on in a bipartisan way to help the American people?
Oh, absolutely. I would put transportation infrastructure at the top of that list. We know that's long overdue. That includes rural broadband. It's not just roads and bridges, airports. There's so much, I think, that we could easily come to an agreement. Mm-hmm. It's also an investment. If the economy is struggling and still sluggish, quite frankly, because of a lot of governors and how they've shut their states down economically for the better part of a year, this could be a catalyst to help spark that economic activity. And I think in terms of the divisions our nation has faced, perhaps the most divisive election in our lifetime, and almost split right down the middle.
Yeah.
These are the types of legislative policies working together, I think, that would also help to lead in the healing this nation.
All right. Thank you, guys. That's Pennsylvania Congressman Glenn Thompson speaking with our own Bob Price earlier today.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. It's all about lake effect snow this week, pummeling some areas, leaving other areas completely free of snow. Next week, though, it'll be a different story. Lake effect snows are put aside as broader, larger systems arrive early week and maybe late week. In the meantime, for this afternoon, heavy lake snows east of Lake Syrian, Ontario, several inches with rugged travel blowing and drifting. Elsewhere, and otherwise, variable cloudiness with snow flurries. Temperatures peaking in the upper 20s to the upper 30s. Patches of lake snow and flurries tonight and tomorrow. Otherwise, partly cloudy. Low temps tonight, mid-teens to mid-20s, and we're in the 20s and low 30s tomorrow. Thursday, not as cold, mostly cloudy. Brisk winds, some storm flurries, and a high in the 30s.
All right, Kevin Williams, finally at noon, the airport layover that lasted 3 months. Police in Chicago want to know how a man was able to live inside O'Hare International Airport undetected since October. The aviation incident raising concerns about security at one of the world's busiest airports.
This shouldn't have happened. This individual really worked the system and has embarrassed a lot of people.
Joe Sweeterman is a transportation analyst at DePaul University.
This is remarkable that this slipped through the cracks, and especially those overnight hours when the airport's effectively shut down.
A 36-year-old suspect took up residence at the airport on a layover from Los Angeles. He told cops he was afraid of catching COVID, so he stayed in the secure part of the airport, sleeping in different spots each night to avoid suspicion. And he did that successfully for 3 months before being arrested on Saturday. Unbelievable. That's the world we live in this Tuesday. As always, thanks for joining us. I'm Bill Price. Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.